This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. This is the Fast Break Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Anderson, rocking the hoodie because I woke up, rolled out of bed. My hair is a mess, so why show my head and just rock the hoodie? So shout out Carmelo Anthony.
Hoodie Anderson.
Yep, that's my name. Not really, because that makes me sound less like Carmelo Anthony and more like Hoodie Allen, and that guy sucks. I'm Sean Anderson. Alongside me, as always, is Ricky Wimmer.
What's up, guys?
And Dave Oster.
Hey, everybody.
And today, we're going to be talking about some trade rumors. You got Russell Westbrook trade rumors. I was gonna say Wilson. I'm gonna say Wilson at some point. I always say whenever I think of Russell, think of Wilson and not Russell Westbrook. I just call him Westbrook. So maybe I'll just stick to that. But we'll be talking Russell Westbrook trade rumors. Then we'll be talking some Piston trade rumors. If they're gonna move D Rose, if they're gonna move Blake Griffin, if they're gonna move Andre Drummond, who they're gonna move, if they're gonna move anybody. We'll talk about that, and then we'll talk about some Laker trade rumors as well. Kyle Kuzma, can he be on the move? Because apparently his trainer's talking shit about LeBron. So we'll talk about that. And Kyle Kuzma's like calling a spade on Twitter. So we'll talk about that on Twitter. Not on Twitter, on the fucking podcast we're doing, dumbass. Anyways, we'll also have What Boys in there as well, where we give a shout-out to the guys who went off the past week. If you want to check it out, us out on patreon.com/mostvalpodcast. We appreciate it. You'd help support the podcast. You'd help support us possibly moving away from this room, upgrading the content as well, getting me speaking lessons. We'd appreciate that. Patreon.com/mostvalpodcast. I'm just realizing I didn't reach out to Jake, so we're going to have two Jake episodes in January, so we're excited for that. We love Jake, and we love all of our other patrons as well.
I actually tried to get him on the Rick and Johnny to talk Star Wars, and you know what he told me? He said, nope, I can't. Fast break only.
Oh, man.
It's a boy.
Well, we could make some exceptions. No. We'll make exceptions for everybody. We love everybody. Anyways, let us...
What?
Probably bad to be like, I will make exceptions for Jake. I'll just redo it.
Only Jake's allowed to come to the studio.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. This is the Fast Break Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, as always, is Ricky Wimmer.
What's up, guys?
And Dave Oster.
Hey, everybody.
And today, we'll be talking trade rumors. We got Russell Westbrook trade rumors. We got Piston trade rumors. And we got Laker trade rumors. We'll also be talking about Wet Boys, giving love to people who absolutely went off in the past week. So we'll give some shout outs there. Also, if you want to help support the podcast, check out patreon.com/mostvalpodcast. If you're wondering why I am wearing a hoodie, it is mainly just because I rolled out of bed, my hair looked like shit, so instead of combing it or putting on a hat, I put up my hoodie. So nice. So shout out to the hoodie. Shout out to Carmelo Anthony. But we will jump in right away. Not going to waste any time. There's college football playoff games to be watched, and we got to get there. I got a family party I got to go to, so we'll just get right into it. We'll be talking Russell Westbrook, and here's the thing. I kind of hate this whole December 15, trade, exception, like the deadline comes up and you have to wait until December 15. Yeah. Because after December 15, the garbage just comes out. We just get the trash. The glorious times of my life are from September to December, where I don't have to deal with bullshit trade rumor fucking articles. Because honestly, unless it's reported by Woj, unless it's reported by Shams, I do not believe it. There's one that I do believe.
But it's good conversation sometimes.
Dwayne Dedman came out and said that he wants a trade. That I believe, because it was reported by an actual reporter.
He also got Coach DNP'd.
Yeah.
And that makes it pretty clear that he wants out.
And Buddy Hield was talking about how there's massive trust issues or something. I don't want to misquote him. Go to King's Talk.
He did apologize.
NBC Sports Net or whatever. Yeah. Go check what he actually said. But he said something along that where there's trust issues with the Kings. He did apologize, but still, he felt that in the moment.
Luke Walton lost the team already. Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Luke Walton's a shitty coach, and he's done the same thing all over again.
And here's the whole Russell Westbrook thing. When I gave out topics, it was are the Kings screwed, Kyle Kuzma, and then Kyrie and the Nets or something.
Yeah.
And then Ricky's like, well, there's trade rumors to talk about. I was like, is there? Because I was looking all over my sources, and I wasn't seeing any trade rumors. And then I was like, Ricky, where'd you see the Russell Westbrook thing? And he was like, it was on Forbes. So immediately I was discrediting it.
I was looking on Google. It was the There was an NBC Sports article that I saw yesterday.
I got who you're going to say. So then I went to House of Houston, and this isn't anything. Fansided typically, you know, takes stuff and then writes what they think about stuff.
Curating.
So, I mean, no problem. So shout out to House of Houston, the Fansided network for the Houston Rockets. But where they think, where they, the whole thing, that this whole article is based off of, why the Houston Rockets, the Russell Westbrook trade rumors are preposterous, is because they're not even real. They were started on a fucking podcast. So hey, guess what, guys? LeBron's being traded from the Lakers. Fucking write articles about it. Ryan Russillo of The Ringer, formerly of ESPN, said on his podcast, which bears his namesake, that thinks that, that he thinks, oh, so said on his podcast, I just don't know how to read. Ryan Russillo of The Ringer, formerly of ESPN, said on his podcast, which bears his namesake, that he thinks Westbrook will be traded. Here's what he said. I think Westbrook is available. We can talk about semantics, of course. Daryl Morey would trade anyone if he thought it made his team better. Of course he would trade Westbrook if he could get off that long-term money, if he thought the assets, the sum of the parts, was better than the somebody's that's considered a top 10 player. Is Daryl Morey actively calling people saying, hey, I've got to dump Westbrook? Well, of course, he wouldn't do it that way, but there are people who believe Westbrook is available and that Daryl knows I've got to figure something out here. I'm sure people will deny this after they hear it on the podcast. I don't care. I'm not denying it, Russell or Ryan Russillo. I've listened to your podcast before. I've stopped it a little, you know, for a little bit here. That's neither here nor there. but it is ridiculous because no one believes it. You don't have proof that it's actually happening. You're just saying something that really can't be denied or really can't be proved because Daryl Morey isn't going to come out and say it because it's. There's no reason for him to say anything about it. So really, you're just throwing it out there that, hey, maybe this is true. And nobody can deny it. So then articles get written about it. And we have to talk about this BS. Because honestly, I highly doubt that Russell Westbrook would be traded from the Houston Rockets here. So Dave, Ricky,
yep.
Are you buying into any of this Russell Westbrook trade talk here?
I could see it. I could see it happening.
Look,
yeah.
Well, here's the thing. This is his last year to make it worse. This is the last year for him to make it work. Like this, it's sort of come out that if the Rockets don't make it shot at the finals this year, Morey could be out. Morey's not a guy who's going to sit on his hands. He's always active, always moving pieces. And you know, the one thing that kind of came up recently was the fact that, hey, there are, you know, interesting pieces out there that I already mentioned as free. One that I think is a good fit for them would be looking to move Russell Westbrook to the Pelicans, going with Drew Holiday and like J.J. Redick back to the Rockets. You get your two guard and you get a three-point, just absolute knockdown three-point shooter, and Pelicans end up with Russell Westbrook because Lonzo Ball hasn't worked out, and you know you're not going to do that. Could you imagine Russell Westbrook and then big Russell Westbrook and Zion Williamson when he's healthy? Like, that team's going to throw it on dunks like nobody's business. It's a win-win deal in my mind.
I really hate that deal for the Pelicans. You know me. I think Russell Westbrook's probably the most overrated player in the NBA right now.
Right.
I don't think he's a top 10 player. Right. So calling him a top 10 player is just a lie. He's not. Yeah. I really do not think he's a top 10 player. And we've seen how this whole Houston Rockets thing has played out. Yeah. It hasn't worked because Russell Westbrook cannot play in any place that isn't just him grabbing rebounds, pushing up the floor, pushing tempo. And he's not even that efficient. He's great at racking up stats, but still, he has not helped his team win. I think Westbrook, you know, he's going to be remembered. He's an MVP. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. But I think his peak is well behind him. I think it was in OKC. And now I think that the fact that you would trade Drew Holiday, a guy that is cost-controlled, a great two-guard, one of the most underrated guards in this game with zero help, and J.J. Redick, although, you know, that's kind of here nor there. I don't think that's a massive piece
of this. I'm trying J.J. Redick to not miss the playoffs.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's a little selfish on my end.
But with Holiday, like, I think he helps you win a championship more now on any team than Russell Westbrook does.
I think that's entirely true.
So what are the Pelicans gaining out of
it? You could give a future first. You could give any of the problem is this Houston team is so gutted for assets. Like you have to really like, who else can you give up? Nobody wants Ben McLemore.
No,
even though he's got a great shot.
Here's the thing.
Austin Rivers. Nope. Like, your best young piece is probably, like, Isaiah Hartenstein.
Day.
And you can't give him up.
Don't bash him.
You can't give him up. You don't have big man depth.
I love him.
You literally can't trade him.
Love that guy. Ricky, let me mm-hmm. say this, and then I want you to bounce off this.
I would have to go futures.
Yeah.
That would be my answer.
I've got a Pelican deal matched up with what you just
here's
said.
My thing. Yep. We all thought that they couldn't get rid of Chris Paul, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they got rid of him for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
I thought they were done. They couldn't make any more moves, and they were kind of making their bet. This mm-hmm. is their last shot at the finals. This is going to happen. If Daryl Morey gets fired of it, it's because of Daryl Morey's mistakes and Daryl Morey's inability to stay still or try to build up any youth or try to, you know, find free agents. He wanted to go big name. He wanted to match Warriors firepower for firepower, and it didn't end up working out. I don't think Daryl Morey is a failure in Houston, but I do think that a lot of it's also going to play into the whole China stuff. I think that it's a disguise of, oh, you haven't gone to the finals.
Yeah.
But Daryl Morey is still a guy that has done a lot of inventive things, made one of the best trades in NBA history to get James Harden.
When you hurt the bottom line of the entire league, you're under a microscope.
And also, I think, too, you made this deal, this Westbrook deal, and now you're going to give up on it 2 months into the season?
We were kind of predicting
ridiculous.
This, though. We kind of, like,
I
one, of,
the other way.
One of us bold, one of our bold predictions, it was one of you guys, said that this was not going to work. I think it was Sean.
Sean, because I wanted it to
Sean
work.
I think Sean had a bold prediction that this was not going
to
work.
I wanted it to work
if you
so
had,
badly.
You had them top three, right?
Yes.
Something like that.
There's still a chance.
But, like, when this deal was even made and Brody came to town, my first thought was, this ain't going to work. I just didn't think it was going to work, and the thing that the Pelicans do have that's interesting is the Cleveland pick. Like, because the trade I have is Drew Holiday and J.J. Redick would work money-wise. But they have the Cleveland pick this year, and they have a Laker first-rounder in 2021 that, hey, odds are that one might not be a high pick as well. So it's like, you know what? We're getting a first-rounder back. We're at least getting some assets back. And that Cleveland pick is interesting to me because right now, Cleveland sits five. It's a top 10 protected pick. And Cleveland sits at the fifth right now. Lottery can change anything, but the most slots they can move down as of right now is nine.
Yep.
But if they move anywhere lower, as this season goes on, there's only three games, technically two and a half, between them and the 10th team because there's three teams tied for ninth.
Yeah, so bunch.
So, like, that's so close to where even if they win a couple games, they're eight. Two teams move up in the lottery, the Pelicans, this deal could actually work out better for them because then if the pick doesn't convey, let's say they're in the top 10 and it doesn't convey, then it turns into a second rounder next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know if the Rockets would take that pick and kind of go with the gamble, but it's a flip of the coin whether that pick, the Cleveland one, will be a first rounder for the Pelicans this year or will be a second rounder in 2021.
My thing, and I think this kind of goes with it's some story from the Bills, and I forget who it was, so I apologize for that. But there was this whole thing back in 1980s, 70s, or something like that, where the Bills had the choice of trading their draft picks to go out and just make sure they make the playoffs again, and the head coaches can keep their jobs, or sticking with the youth that they could bring in, and they might lose their jobs, but the Bills would be in a great place in the end. And I forget the coach's name, and I apologize for that. So if anyone does remember, please throw it out there. I've been trying to look, but I didn't have enough time. And I tried Googling, it just didn't work out. But pretty much they were in the predicament, whether we make these trades to save our jobs or we keep with the youth assets because we know it's going to work out and we lose our jobs, but the Bills are going to end up in a better place.
Yeah.
They chose youth and end up in a better place. Mm-hmm. They went to four straight Super Bowls. They have Jim Kelly, Otis Anderson, Bruce Smith, yada, yada, yada. I think Daryl Morey is just going to have to be the sacrificial lamb here because in the end, he is a very good general manager. He unfortunately got himself into hot water with the whole China stuff.
Yeah.
I think if he didn't do that, he would have a job immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he really just has to bite the bullet here because it didn't work out. You tried the Russell Westbrook thing. You tried the Chris Paul thing. Trading a young asset or a possible great asset like the Laker pick, like the Cav pick, would be extremely short-sighted here because in the end, that is bad for the health of the Houston Rockets because right now we just talked about him going out and making big splashes and trying to get firepower to compete with the Golden State Warriors and not building youth and not building up young players and assets to grow up and build a farm system. And if he does go out and trade that Cleveland pick, he is exactly doing the same thing and putting the Rockets in a bad situation.
The Pelicans have the Cleveland pick. It would be the Rockets
getting it. That's even worse for the Pelicans.
The Pelicans have it. Because right now it's protected and it's only a second rounder. It has the option of being a first rounder if Cleveland falls out of the top 10.
If I am the Pelicans,
I'm not giving up.
I'm not giving up Drew Holiday. I am. If I was David Griffin, I'm not giving up Drew Holiday for Russell Westbrook. I would need the pot sweetener.
Russ and a pick would get it done in my mind. Russ and a pick for Drew Holiday and J.J. Redick. And that's the best possible deal for my mind. The team I think you're thinking of is the Redskins. They didn't have a first-round pick from 1969 to 1979. Literally. They traded away young talent, young potential talents, and then just kept grabbing guys who are like 27 to 30 to 35. And they just kept rolling with this older crew and did absolutely fantastic. So maybe that was the team you're thinking of.
I'll try to find it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. I'm 100% sure it was the Bills.
The only thing that I think about is, and this is important, what the Russ trade value is. How many picks are the Rockets going to want back? Because
zero.
When the Thunder traded him, they got two first rounders in 2024 and 2026, and then pick swaps in 2021 and 2025. So technically, they got two extra picks and then chances to swap. Are the Rockets going to just look to, if they do trade Russ, is it just going to be like, let's get him off and let's see what we can get? Is it going to be, let's try to get the best pick value? And to me, there's one team out there that it could be a perfect marriage, perfect trade for both teams.
Let's hear it.
And that's the New York Knicks. Because the trade I've got would send Mareks Morris.
I love it.
Bobby Portis and Taj Gibson. So these are guys. Mareks is on a one-year deal.
Right.
Can probably help you in the playoffs, but if he doesn't, he's gone.
Yeah.
Bobby Portis, I think, could be a guy when Clint Capella, because one of the big reasons in the playoffs is Clint Capella gets run off the floor.
Yeah.
Bobby, put him in there. It's small ball five. But you can put him in there. Bobby ain't getting run off the floor. Mm. Taj Gibson can be a veteran presence in that playoffs, can give you quality playoff minutes in my mind.
I don't know if Taj's defense is good enough at this point in his career. He's good, but
The Rockets would have to give up just Russ and then Tyson Chandler and Thabo. And the only reason I'm including them is 3-for-3.
Yep.
And both Tyson and Cephalosha have one-year deals. So they're off. And the Rockets could actually get picks. Because if I'm the Knicks, that Maverick pick in 21, Mavericks are going to be pretty fucking good next year.
Probably.
Maybe that pick ain't going to be that high. Yep. I'm okay with giving that up. And then by 2022, if I got Russ and RJ, maybe I'm making a run by then. So I give up the 2021 Dallas pick, my 2022 pick, or if you want to give up your 2023 pick, the Rockets can get picks. They can get guys to help their playoff run. And the Knicks can get a star in Westbrook to play in the lights of MSG next to RJ.
I want to get the reaction here. Okay. It was Kay Stevenson, former head coach of the Buffalo Bills. He was working with Bill Polian. Kay Stevenson had the choice of trading these young players like Bruce Smith and Jim Kelly. He said, no, let's keep them. And he lost his job. Polian ended up keeping his job, and then they went to 4th Street Super Bowls.
Wow. All right.
It's NFL Films, the draft class that sparked a dynasty, 1984 Bills draft.
Nice. I just don't know why the Rockets would want to have, you know, a bunch of mid-tier guys and then draft picks. Like, that doesn't fit their timeline at all in my mind. That's my only question. Like, yes, they get two first-rounders back, but James Harden doesn't give a shit about first-rounders.
Yeah, can you read the trade-off?
This isn't about what James Harden thinks, though. This is what Daryl Morey would want.
Daryl Morey doesn't have a job next year unless they compete for a finals this
year. Can you read the trade again?
So, the Knicks would get Russ and then Chandler and Thabo Cephalosha. Chandler and Cephalosha would be done at the end of the year. The Rockets would get Mareks Morris, Bobby Portis, and Taj Gibson, along with Dallas's 2021 first-round pick and the Knicks' 2022, but you can even push it to 2023 if you want.
I think the first-round picks are interesting just because it doesn't mean you have to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another asset you could flip.
Yep.
So I don't hate that idea. It's just the fact that you're getting, what, four power forwards there?
Three.
I mean, you're taking away another ball handler from them. I mean, who's going to then handle the ball when James Harden isn't?
Austin Rivers.
Yeah, I think
maybe you're thinking Eric Gordon comes back and
he's not that great of a ball handler.
Like that's the only thing I'm thinking.
I think honestly, what we just keep coming to is they're screwed. Daryl Morey's screwed. He's losing his job, and that's really what's going to happen. And I think Russillo's idea of, you know, Maury's not going to sit on his hands and stuff like that, he might not. Maybe Russell Westbrook does get traded, but mm-hmm. I honestly do not think that if it happens, we will look back and be like, wow, the Rockets made a great deal. Wow, look at that again.
I think it's a bailout move, if anything?
I think they will be screwed, and in the end, it might not be immediate, but it will have very bad consequences on their franchise, because I think you're going to have to attach draft picks to Russ, which to then in the end is going to hurt you. And I know James Harden doesn't care about draft picks, and James Harden doesn't care about this. And James Harden, I honestly think James Harden really just cares about, you know, making sure he's able to handle the ball. He's able to score a shit ton. And I think he kind of likes playing this way. Mm-hmm. So if you're not really changing that, I don't really know if he cares that much about finals. I don't know if that's his end all be all. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's a guy that would really ask for a trade, because it seems like he's pretty happy.
No, he loves being the guy in Houston. Like, so that's not his problem. It's just the question of how long can you be, you know, that close but not good enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that after... You know,
it's gotta eat at you, is what you're saying.
It's gonna eat at you. Mm-hmm. Like, Daryl Morey built a team to beat the Warriors, and they were an injury away from beating the Warriors. They were healthy Chris Paul away from finishing the deal. They were a historically bad streak of three pointers from beating the Warriors. And credit to him. Like, it's a hell of a job he's done. He's retooled the team year over year over year. But the fact that they aren't good enough to beat the best team, you know, that's his legacy. That's where he's at this point. And I think that James Harden really at this point is you know, at Daryl Morey's mercy. Do I think they should trade Russell Westbrook right now? No. Like, I think you roll it out for another couple months, see where he's at. He's had some good performances. He's had games where he's looked better. But I just think that people are trying to instant fix a team that, you know, might need some time to put it all back together again.
Yeah, Dave, I just want to throw this out there. Where'd you say Russ would be shooting? Again?
Horribly.
No, but where'd you say he was?
Oh.
I think your bold prediction was like...
My bold prediction was league average? Yeah. He's 29.
He was at 30... league average right now is 35.5%. Yep. It's currently at 23.8%. Ooh. So he's got a long way to be a league average.
He does. And the scary thing is he's getting a lot of wide open looks.
Yeah.
And he's just not going in.
No, he's a bad shooter. Yep. So that's really what it comes down to. 79% from the line, though. Shout out to Russ.
Yeah, he's back up there.
I don't think a trade's going to happen. I honestly don't. I don't know. I don't think Houston's going to be able to make a run. I mean, they're 21-10, and it doesn't really feel like it. Mm-hmm. It really feels like they're, you know, much worse than that.
That's a credit to James Harden. Well, and James Harden is fucking insane. Like, that's... Someone who's putting up 39 points a game at the true shooting percentage that he is, he's literally a top four greatest scorer of all time. And I think the argument's there that if he can continue this, he's potentially number two. I mean, that's where we're at. Like, we're watching history right now, and people just love to hate on him because free throws aren't exciting.
Yeah.
Well, and some of the things that I'm thinking about, first off, just a last thing I'll throw out with the next thing. If I take out Taj and put in Alfred Payton,
that would
is
work
that
better.
A little bit better? Because then it's like you get a backup ball handler when Harden's not on the court.
He's mini Russ. Remember, he had like five straight triple doubles?
You just knock off the front poof and you're good to go.
And the Rockets would save $1 million from that. Two thoughts that are going in my head, though. Number one question I want to throw out there is, do you think at the end of Daryl Morey's time, whether it's after the end of the season or later in the future, do you think his lasting legacy in Houston, that we're just going to say, like, man, he got way too obsessed with the Warriors, and that was his downfall?
No.
Like, he got way too obsessed
team.
With trying to, like, instead of, like, building a team that, like, hey, this is the best team that's going to win, he got too obsessed with, I need to beat this team. I need to build the perfect team to beat this team.
He was the second-best team in the NBA for, like, 3 years.
I disagree with that because he was the second-best team in the NBA for years, but also he almost did it.
Yeah.
He would have done it if his team didn't go 0-27 or whatever, and then Chris Paul wasn't injured.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he put the right players on the court. He just didn't perform.
Yeah.
So I think his legacy is that he was so close so many times and he just never could do it. And he was so enticed by the idea of winning a championship for Houston that it ended up being his downfall because he then made one too many moves.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, look at the work he got out of, like, Luke Mahmute. Like, there's a guy who, not even in the league, he, you know, after his last year with Houston. Yeah. No, after his last year with Houston, he went to the Clippers, but he never had it again. You know, he hurt his, I believe he had an injury at the end of the time with Houston, which limited his playoff minutes. He was doing really well, but then it was like, dude can't even do anything. He's a great defender. He had Trevor Reese's corpse out there looking great, and then look where Trevor Reese is at now.
P.J.
Like,
Tucker.
P.J. Tucker's a fucking, I don't even know how the hell, like, who has the analytic mind to figure out, like, P.J. Tucker is our 2, 3, 4, and 5 all at the same time. Doesn't matter. This 6'5", 6'6", guy who is just a brick shit house out there can guard anybody. Like,
yeah.
Where do you
was
get
playing
this
in
from?
Israel, Ukraine, Greece, Germany, Italy, then came back to Phoenix, and then, you know, went back to Houston.
Yeah, the Pat Bev deal. Like, he just they went through so many interesting iterations of teams that I just, it's impressive.
Rhino too.
Ryan Anderson, yeah, making Ryan Anderson. I mean, the contract they had to give him was awful, but like the value he provided them in the regular season was insane. Daryl Morey, if he gets fired, you know, at the end of the season, the following day, there's 10 teams calling, being like,
well,
"So,
well, there
what's
would,
it going to take?"
There
and
would
one of them
if,
won't be
if,
the Bulls.
It should be.
It should be.
I don't know if that is going to happen though, because of the whole China stuff.
You think he's going to get blackballed?
I think he might.
Oof.
And maybe not his life, but for a while.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have to take a little bit for that to cool, because I feel like it's probably cooled around here, but I don't know if it's cooled over there.
Yeah.
But well, he's also had some duds like KJ McDaniels.
Oh, no, he's not
Dante,
bulletproof.
Monte Yunus
is an offensive machine.
He was until he disappeared.
He liked eating food a little too much, and his effort level was
he brought back Corey Berger,
mysteriously.
Too.
Yeah, missing sometimes. But no, like he's been able to get a lot out of, you know, he finds the guys who fit the system. And I think that's the thing. Like, he and D'Antoni are an amazing pair, because D'Antoni's the point guard whisperer. And he just keeps finding, like, here's this weird guy. Plug and play. See what happens. And it just works sometimes.
If you had to figure
ben
it out.
Ben McLemore's a fucking reclamation project who nobody thought could play anymore. And he's out there having 10 main three performances.
Yeah.
Like,
if you could
Gerald Green off the fucking couch.
Yep. Corey Brewer at 1.2.
Yeah.
If you could either wipe the franchise clean right now, you get a free clean sweep.
Yeah.
You lose James Harden, you lose that, but you get all your picks back, and you have to rebuild the team, or you have to figure it out with the roster right now. What would you rather do if you're Daryl Morey?
That's tough. I mean, I'd try to keep James Harden. That's I got
you would try to make it work with Harden.
I got
to
spot rack this team. Harden is
wiping
30
it clean.
Years old.
Uh huh.
He's got, effectively, with his game, I think easily 5 more years of service.
But how much usage he's been having.
But that's the thing.
It could absolutely.
He's not bodying guys down low. He's taking outside shots and flopping.
True, but at some point, look at what he's doing just night in, night out.
Oh, yeah.
He's played the most minutes twice already in his career.
Yeah.
At some point, you know there's going to be a breaking point. You can't play 2,500 minutes, you know, for, what, fucking, you know, 10 straight years. Your body's going to break down at some point.
I get you. But, like, his game is so crafty, and it's not predicated on his athleticism. It's all on the fact that he outsmarts guys. He outthinks guys on the court. So I think I wait out, you know, some of the bad contracts and try to get to a point where, hey, if Russell Westbrook can be moved for something reasonable, do it. And Clint Capella's contract will be coming up, and I love Clint, but, like, that contract... They needed to give him money, but the fact that they gave him money kind of locked them down. Kind of feels like Steven Adams-esque, you know? Mm-hmm. They had to do it, but at the same time, like, you limit your other options.
Yeah.
Big men are kind of replaceable.
I'm wiping it clean. And the only reason why is shit hasn't worked. We got to go in a new direction. And
see, I think it has worked.
To me, if I was Daryl Morey, it's finals or bust. With the roster that he's put together... Finals or bust. That's the way I would be thinking about it. And because this team hasn't won a finals, I would start questioning, will we ever win a finals with James Harden? I know he's a really good player.
But
when does it become, like, Russ, I think, is definitely this. James Harden, I think, is going to be this. Is the put up great stats, great player, never won a championship.
But,
as a GM, as a guy who puts the pieces in the right place, my goal is not to give you the best stats, it's to win a championship.
I just think that bust means that he's a failure, and I don't think he failed. Yeah. I don't think that he destroyed this team. I don't think that he put him in the wrong situations. He tried to win a championship.
No, I'm
and
saying...
Just because
I'm saying like what you said. If I was in the position,
I'm not disagreeing with you wiping. Okay. I'm just you saying finals are bust.
Yeah, that's how I would think of it if I was Daryl Morey.
And I'm disagreeing with you.
Okay. No. I just didn't know if you – I wanted to make sure it was not – I'm saying Daryl Morey's not thinking that. That was me if I was Daryl Morey.
Yeah, and I'm saying I wouldn't think of it as a bust because I don't think you tried. You got close to the finals and you put everything in the right spot to do so. It just didn't work out on the court, which obviously is the most important thing. But I don't think Daryl Morey did a bad job of trying to win a title for Houston because they were so close to it. And you know, he can't be out there chucking threes. I don't want Daryl Morey out there chucking threes for me anyways. But he's not out there shooting those shots. He's not out there affecting the game and playing it. He has to put those chess pieces in the right spot. But even then, those chess pieces still have to go out and fire off. And they didn't do that in those games. So I think he did a very good job of building up a championship contender, and just because he fell short, I don't think is a bad thing or is a bust or a failure of his time. I think that he did do a good job of doing what he was brought in to do.
It just comes up with I just think of something
I'd wipe it clean too.
I think of something I'm going to bring out a phrase that Will Perdue usually says about the Bulls this season is insanity is trying the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Looking at this Russ trade of what it's been now, hindsight's 2020, but first time around, let's bring in CP3. Let's get another superstar to play next to James Harden. Worked really well. They almost got to the finals, injury away. They could have been there. A Klay Thompson performance. They could have been there. Tried to do the same thing with Russ. Let's get that superstar. They've played together before. At some point, it's just going to be when is it like, okay, when do we pump the brakes and try to do something else? And I'm not saying that's wiping it clean. I'm not saying that's getting rid of James Harden. But eventually, if you start getting to the same point every year and you're not getting any further, something has to change.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. To me, that's you're one of the top teams in the NBA for so long. I don't know that you have to change. I think that a lot of teams are okay being very good. They're the very good of the league. You're not going to get a championship, but you're always there. I mean, like, you look at the Supersonics, the Gary Payton, Sean Kemp teams. They were always very good. The Utah Jazz of the 90s, very good.
But those teams made it to finals.
Right, and I understand. I'm just saying, like, they went up against the greatest team of their generation in the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Golden State Warriors not the team that beat the Bulls regular season record?
But still, I mean, like,
are they not the team with four All-Stars?
The Knicks needed Jordan to retire, but they still made it to a final. Like, all those teams that, like, didn't win a championship still made it to finals.
Yeah. The Rockets would be probably maybe a little bit of a better version than the Indiana Pacers. Because Indiana Pacers had Reggie Miller, never made it to the finals.
Reggie Miller's not even in the same world.
Oh, they did. The one year they got past the Knicks. That's right. So that one doesn't even work. I'm trying to think of a team that had the power and didn't make it. Because, like, the Knicks, they made it to one and lost to the Rockets.
Sacramento
Kings. Happens. I guess the Kings.
I almost want. Yeah, but they got screwed out of there.
Yeah, so they still didn't make it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Shout out to Houston. You guys are now the Sacramento Kings of 2002. And,
team that sustained being, like, right outside? I mean, that's the thing. Because the Raptors technically were the team up until Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
They were one big deal away from getting a championship.
Yeah, the Rockets were better than the Raptors.
I know. That's the scary thing. That's why you think you're one deal away, man. You're always just one deal away. The Daryl Morey lifestyle.
I'll ask this question. In 20 years, which old Rocket player will be the GM of the Houston Rockets? Who will be the Vlade Divac of the Houston Rockets?
Yao Ming.
That'd be great.
I would say of this team, though.
Well, currently on the roster, P.J. Tucker.
Ooh. I'm going to go Austin Rivers.
I could see Rivers being a front office kind of guy. Yeah. I could see him being a coach or in the front office easily.
Shout out Austin Rivers. All right, we're going to wrap up this segment. We're going to jump into some Pistons talk now. Let us know your thoughts down in the comments. What do you think about the Rockets? Should they blow everything up or should they keep it a course out in Houston? But let's jump into the next topic. And we want to give a shout out to our guy, to the man, the myth, the legend, our patron. Guys in the Discord, constantly lighting us up, constantly shooting his shot, constantly giving us updates about his team, the Detroit Pistons. Shout out to Soapy Muffin. We love him. Woo! Shout out to him. He's one of the best.
Yep.
Always giving us updates on Andre Drummond. We always complain about Blake Griffin.
Luke Kennard for MVP is I almost knocked my water over.
He's a matter for my own heart.
Shout out to Soapy. We love you. But anyways, we're talking about the Pistons. Who are they going to trade? Because it seems like it's a possibility that they might trade somebody. They're bad right now, and they have some players that are interesting. Andre Drummond, Blake Griffin, Derrick Rose. So we'll talk about all three of those guys. Who's going to be traded off this team, yes or no? We'll get an answer from everybody on everybody. So you're going to get nine answers and probably no actual conclusion.
That's what you come here for, though.
Let's jump into it. We're going to start off with the big guys. We'll work our way down. We'll start with the tallest to the shortest, all right?
Yep.
So we're going to start off with big man Andre Drummond. Then we'll go to a little bit smaller of a big man. It would still eclipse me.
Boy.
Yeah, it would still eclipse me by a whole 12 inches. Blake Griffin. And then Derrick Rose, who's still taller than me.
Yep.
But we'll start off with Andre Drummond. Woj and Zach Lowe, two guys. See, this is a trade rumor that I respect.
Yeah.
Because Woj and Lowe on their trade preview show mentioned the Pistons and Mavs, possibly Andre Drummond and Tim Hardaway being involved in a trade. That's very interesting to me because those are two guys with a lot of insight. Those are two guys that are putting out their name on the line on ESPN of all places. So
and they've got insider connections like nobody else's business.
So let's talk about Andre Drummond. Let's talk about the Mavs first. Do you think that Andre Drummond is a need for the Dallas Mavericks?
It's hard to say a need for a team that right now is performing so well, but I will say that if they had one weakness, it would be the center position right now. There's a reason why they wanted to get our boy from the Magic during this offseason, not just because he's a Euro, but...
Boosie,
man. Come on. The whole thing was if they could go ahead and get a big man who can, you know, help them offensively and rebound well and dish out a couple assists, they'd be in business. Because KP has no post game. He's got no post moves.
Yeah.
Looks awful out there. And that's something he's got to work on going forward. But Drummond is just a vacuum of rebounds. Like, that man will rebound anything and everything within a 15-foot range of the rim. So I think that if they could go out there and get someone who could lock down that low post for them, that would be massive for them. And again, he's not the worst guy as far as passing out a low post. I think him and Luka in the pick and roll would be pretty disgusting. I think fit-wise, this could work out really nicely for the Mavericks.
I have a lot of issues with Andre Drummond, and I don't know if you have the same, Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at him, and I just wonder, why is he not better? Why is he not a guy that is more sought after? Because he's 26 years old. He's 6'10". He's probably one of the most athletic big men in the league right now. You just look at what he was doing in college. I mean, the guy's got an unnatural ability to jump. He's very fluid, very athletic. But... I just don't understand a guy that's averaging 17 and 15 isn't the most sought-after player on the trade market right now.
Because he's the thing that I've always had a problem with Andre Drummond, it's not his fault, it's the team's fault, of who they put around him.
Hmm.
Really, if you're the number, like, in this NBA, a center cannot be your number one. He could be your number two. He could be possibly your number three.
Okay,
can't be your number one.
But even then, I don't think he is even their number one.
No. I'm saying, like, even with Blake Griffin coming in, that hasn't been enough to kind of, like,
it's hard
to
me, games it has, you don't have a point guard.
Exactly. Like, they need a guard. They need a wing that can be their one, two, their one or their two, I'll say.
I,
not even their three, one or two.
I just think it's a thing of lack of motivation.
There's that too.
I
could say that.
I don't, and maybe that would come with playing with Luka and KP on a very winning team. You know, maybe that unlocks him. But I also think too that, you know, he can grab 15 boards a game, but I think one thing that is a little bit lacking in his game is the ability to start transition off of those rebounds. He isn't a horrible passer, but I also don't think assist means passing level, and I think he could be a much better passer, and maybe that is, you know, lack of weapons as well. Maybe he doesn't have the guys to actually, you know, even risk, you know, chucking balls up out to. But I do think that with the guy that's grabbing 15 boards a game should be leading transition more and should be leading outlets more and should be pushing the pace a little bit more, and I really don't see that happening with Andre Drummond. And I think that would be something that could unlock his game. And I don't know if the Mavericks are the best spot for that, because I would much rather have Luka, the god of passing, to be, you know, starting those transitions, being my main rebounder. I know that obviously, you know, having Andre Drummond wouldn't hurt at all. It would also probably help boost Luka's rebound numbers because you have to worry so much about
gets like
Andre Drummond.
8 to 10 boards a game.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
it's pretty incredible.
But still, I mean, like having Andre Drummond and Luka out there, you know, it's a great pair. I just think that he should be much better than where he is at right now. And I think a lot of that has to do with his mentality, with his work ethic. He has worked hard on his free throws, so I'll give him a shout out to that.
Yeah,
jumping 30%
growth
on there. You know, he's done a great job from 2016, 2017 to just 2017, 2018. He went from 30 to 60, so shout out to him for that. But I just don't think it's all there, and I think that should be concerning that a guy this young with this much athleticism, with this ability to grab boards, is not the most desired trade asset out there. I think that should be concerning.
Your point is valid, too, because there's like actual evidence of like, there was a game that we actually did for a watch along. I think it was against the Bulls where it's like third quarter, he just goes, fuck it, I'm done, foul. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
Like, and
they
it's
were
like,
embarrassed in that game.
It's like, wait a second, there's like a complete second half to play, dude. Nah, I'm going to hit the locker room.
He didn't hit the locker room.
No, he didn't hit the locker room. But it's like, I'm done with this game. I'm not playing. Here's my problem with the whole Mavs trade, though. I think the Mavs don't have the assets to get it done. And when I say that, the big thing I'm going to want, if I'm the Pistons, if I'm giving up Blake, if I'm fire sale with Drummond and Derrick Rose, I want picks. Dallas can't give me the 20 and 22 picks. Because they already gave the Knicks the 21 and the 23.
Right.
And because of that Stephian rule, you can't, or Stephian rule, however you pronounce it, you can't give up those picks. So it's like that trade, it's not impossible, but it's going to be finagling to where I'm not going to want to wait until 2026 to get a pick or 2025. Yeah. So that's the only thing with the Mavericks that I think hinders them is they gave up those assets to get KP, that because they can't give up year after year after year and do what that Redskins team did, that they won't be able to move the picks that the Pistons want unless they add a third team. And, okay, we get picks from you, but then who are we giving to you? And it's just going to be convoluted.
See, here's the problem with the Pistons is their front office has said they want to compete for the playoffs. They just want to be good at basketball. And I think that's the problem. You have a team that, if the front office is happy that you're making the playoffs, even if you get obliterated, you know, 0-4 in the first round, they're still viewing it as a win. It's kind of hard to force bad pieces or force, you know, pieces out of town. You know, we're doing this as the fact of like, look, this is a team that looks like it needs a rebuild in our minds. You know, Blake Griffin is a shell of himself right now. He needs to rest and, you know, get his whole body right before he comes back. He rushed back the season, it looks like, and has looked like it. It's just hurting him more. I think Drummond's one of the guys who, look, he's got good value. As much as you want to say he's underperformed by our standards or he's looked lackadaisical out there, you know, not 100% on the effort, like, he's still an excellent rebounder. He's still a good defender.
No, yeah,
and
the Mavs, if they
want to win, you need someone who can guard the rim.
My thing isn't that he's a bad player. It's just I think that, like, why isn't he more coveted?
Yeah.
That's the question I'm asking.
Because nobody wants to have a big under a big contract, and that's what he's due for. Like, that's the problem, is he's due for a contract, and you don't want to be like, oh, we just talked about it. Steven Adams, Clint Capella, big guys on big contracts who aren't going to win you a championship.
Yeah, but however, even then, he's got a player option, but I mean,
that's the thing. He's going to be asking for a long-term deal for $20-plus million a year.
I'm fine
with that because I you don't have to sign him.
No, and
because the whole point, you're making this move to help you this year and possibly, you know, this year.
And that's why I think the Blazers are the best team, because, like, I just worked out here. They would have to give up in this mindset the 2020 and 2022 firsts.
Yeah.
Only because if I'm the Pistons, so the Blazers will get Drummond. That's all they get. Blazers will get those two picks, 20 and 22. They'll get Hassan Whiteside. So it's like, okay, going to take him off, but he's an expiring. So maybe you can take one of the picks off because of that. You can also get, like, Nasir Little. And it's like, okay, we'll take on a project, we'll get picks, and Drummond can be, like, the mercenary for the Blazers. That even if Nurkic comes back, you now have Nurkic and Drummond and
Whiteside's been playing good for them. And I don't know if it's necessary to do that.
Would you rather have Whiteside or Drummond?
Nurkic.
No, but if you had to pick Drummond or Whiteside, who would you pick?
I would rather have Whiteside, because that way I can have Nurkic coming back and then trade Whiteside for a better player.
Yeah, they need wings.
I would. Yeah, I would rather trade. Wings. I would rather trade Whiteside 27 mil for a wing.
Yep.
And even then, Whiteside's been playing good.
Yep.
So I.
So there you go. We're going to solve this whole deal by trading Tim Hardaway Jr. to the Trailblazers for Hassan Whiteside. Everybody wins. Except for the Pistons.
So the Mavericks just say, well, we can't get Drummond.
We'll take Whiteside for a year.
We just made a deal. I don't even know if that's the let's make a deal thing. Let's answer this question before we get into Blake. Before we get
Hawks
into
the other team, though. I'm just tossing out there.
Well, what's the Celtics. Hawks thing before we get into that?
Oh, dude, I don't have Celtics, a Hawks
one. The Celtics thing means they have to trade Gordon Hayward, and I wouldn't do that.
Drummond and Thon for Hayward and a first. Yep. Their own first, which would be low.
Nope. Thank you. No, thank you.
Hawks having a center would be good, though.
This is Danny Ainge. Oh, you want me to trade Gordon Hayward for Andre Drummond? Oh, thank you. Have a great happy holidays.
Yep.
That's it. That's
Wait,
how
you
want
to pick from us? I don't have any of those to give up.
Thon Maker. No,
fresh out.
Thon Maker, though.
He does?
Not as tall as our guy.
How old is he?
He's 49. I think
the Hawks have young assets.
Wait, what's the Hawks deal?
I don't know.
I'm coming up with one.
I literally have none. Thanks, I just Ricky. Thought about a team, I've got and you. I was like, the Hawks could use a center. They're historically bad at defense. John Collins can't rim protect to save his life. So why not go get Drummond, who can be a big center, who can score points, who can defend the rim pretty well. Like
when he wants to.
Yeah, when he wants to. But I mean, like, that's the team. You're not going to.
But the team sucks.
You're not going to eat criticism from the national media. You're in Atlanta.
The team still sucks, though.
Trae Young and Drummond, man.
I don't know.
I
don't think it's going to happen just mainly because I don't think they're in a position to push it. Yeah, I don't think they're going to push their wins up.
Yeah.
They suck. So why do that? Ricky, you don't have to come up with the trade.
I do.
Because they have money to spend.
Let's go to this.
It is possible. I'm going to come up with them before the end.
Okay, I don't really want to hear it.
Yeah, I do.
Let's do this. The question of will they trade, before we get to Blake, before we get to T-Rose.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to make trades? Because you brought up the whole idea of ownership wanting to make the playoffs and then selling playoff tickets and making money, the old Jerry Reinsdorf.
I say it's very close to home.
Yeah. So do you think it's actually possible that a deal might get done for any of these players?
I think if it's anyone, it's going to be like a Derrick Rose. It's not there. I don't see them moving on from Drummond or from Blake Griffin. Lord knows if anyone wanted Reggie Jackson, he's available, but that's not something that anybody
Please take Reggie Jackson. Please.
We will take a protected second round pick that's available from pick 59 to 60.
You give us your 2046 second round pick.
Yep. Unfortunately, nobody wants that, so they're locked in. Well, that's only until the end of the year. No big deal. I can't see them moving on from Blake Griffin. They pulled out a deal, they moved on from a couple picks, and like, I love the idea of, you know, the Toby for Blake thing was interesting, but like, I just, Blake Griffin needs to be healthy, and the problem is if you sell him now, you're not getting top dollar for Blake Griffin because he's playing like ass.
Yeah,
because he's still hurt. So I can't see him moving on from Blake Griffin. Nobody wants to go there in free agency, and if you don't have a name like Blake Griffin to entice people to come, then you're definitely not signing anybody.
Okay, so you don't think it's possible?
I think Blake is untouchable from the front office point of view. I think other teams would love to have someone like a healthy Blake Griffin, but I just can't see them giving him up for anything because they don't have...
Do they shut him down this year?
Potential?
For a month? I think he just needs a month, and he could come back. Like, it literally... There's nothing officially wrong with him right now. He just looks like it's nagging injuries, and he's not all there yet. So I think if you rested him for, like... 30 straight days.
I'd say shut him down for the trade deadline.
Oof.
Well, depending on where the thing that's going to be the interesting is where are they by the trade deadline? Yeah. Where are they by the All Star break?
Because
they're only two and a half back.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, the Bulls are also two and a half back, and so are the Hornets. Ayo. But it's like that's a weird thing because this year, even the West, you pointed out, Dave, before it recorded, is the same way at the bottom where this year has been oddly
it's just top heavy
weird where it's just. You know, not just top heavy, it's just like you said, a losing record. 38-43 might get you into the playoffs. Yep. If my math was right there, whatever, I might have added a game, subtracted a game. But 38 wins might get you into the playoffs in the East at least.
Yep.
And for the Pistons, that's the part where as a Piston fan I'd be nervous because it's like, well, this team can compete for the 8th seed, and if we're in the race, the GM and the front office ain't gonna want to make the move. I think you're right. Blake, I would be the one that I keep. Drummond and Rose, though, I would definitely trade.
If you get a Godfather kind of deal for Blake, sure.
Yeah. Sure. But he would be the one that I kind of want to keep. Drummond and Rose, right. I can trade out and then try to get assets to build around Blake.
But if for some godforsaken reason, yes. Pat Riley shows up and is like, I need Blake Griffin on the Heat. And Pat Riley would never do this. Don't even get me started.
Who would
this
even defense. Give him, though?
But that's the thing. They've got a bunch of assets out. And contract filler. Like, they've got young talent out the ass, and they've got old guys on bad contracts. So, like, that's a situation where you could get one of those incredible deals.
Also, that
But they're not going to do it because they wouldn't, because they're a great team already.
Before I forget, that Hawk deal that Dave brought up would be Drummond to the Hawks.
Oh, that actually
for
works.
For Evan Turner, Cam Reddish, and then 2020 Brooklyn's pick. And then 2021, Atlanta's pick.
Yeah, that would actually work.
I wouldn't give up Reddish.
I mean,
I would just I would just
it looks
I
like
would
he might be an basketball
and
player.
And with Turner, if you like Turner, you can put Crabbe there. Like either one you want to trade, Turner or Crabbe.
Yeah,
you can do either one there.
No, I think that's probably the right kind of value. I don't know if it's two firsts because of Drummond's contract.
Yeah, I just thought the Brooklyn pick at least because it's like. Atlanta's pick is going to be a top pick.
Yeah, I would.
Brooklyn, it's like whatever. We're giving up on 19
first rounder.
Yeah,
I'd say maybe one pick, but that sounds about right in my mind. But no, I think that's a problem. Unless you're getting a Godfather deal for Blake Griffin, he's not moving. As hurt as he is, they're going to keep him. They want to fill seats. Asses in seats is always the answer. That's the only reason that I would say it's unlikely. That he gets moved, even though Sean, I know this hurts your prediction. Of
my prediction's gone, anyways.
The Blazers.
Yeah, it's dead.
It's dead. About it. Yeah. It's dead. It's not coming back.
No, it's not happening.
Okay.
Would you say yes to? Never mind. Cannot do it.
I wouldn't
almost,
do it.
Almost had a deal. Almost had. A deal.
I would not say yes to.
Anyways, what was your deal with Blake?
I don't. I was ripping on you and the Trailblazers deal.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen because he looks like shit.
Yep.
He didn't look. I mean, that was before the season. So I just think I don't think a deal with Blake is going to happen. I agree with you that I don't think that they're going to make a move for Blake Griffin. I don't think it's possible.
Unless they're getting like two picks or a young star. No,
yeah. And the Heat are still so much against the cap. I tried trading James Johnson, Myers Leonard, and KZ Akpala, and the one first round pick they can trade and a second round pick.
Yep.
And they're over the tax too much. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing is that, like, I don't think they have enough to get rid of them because you're not going to move Dragic.
They would have to move Jimmy. One of the young pieces, you know?
I mean, Dion. I mean, who would you include? KZ, or would you include like Kendrick? Or
they would probably want Kendrick Nunn.
Okay,
I'd be okay with moving Kendrick Nunn.
So James Johnson, like, Waiters, Nunn, a first and a second.
Yeah.
No, it's still not possible. Yikes. With the tax.
I've almost got one.
Taxes are awful.
So
anyway,
you want to give up Nunn?
They're not going to move. They're not going to move anything. I literally just picked a team.
Yeah, I know.
Because yeah, now, I know, but like, I think it's just so difficult because of how much he's making.
Yeah, how much is Blake making this year?
34. So, I mean, and it's fine when he's healthy. I don't know.
Hey, we just talked about, Russell Westbrook.
Blake Griffin. Got one.
Do you want to swap?
Swapsies? Swapsies? Anyway.
Do you think that helps
Detroit
the Rockets?
Detroit gets a point guard.
Do you think that helps the Rockets?
The Rockets get Blake Griffin, who may or may not be healthy. It's like Chris Paul all over
again. I think it could help them.
I love it.
I think it could help the Rockets. I did find a Heat trade. I wouldn't do it, though.
No one would do it. Any Heat trade.
Blake,
the Heat don't want him.
Blake Griffin to the Heat for Goran Dragic, Myers Leonard, Derek Jones Jr., Kendrick Nunn, and then picks. Like 2025, 2027.
And we already said, which we were listening earlier, we wouldn't include Goran.
I just wanted to get the success.
So congratulations, success. Ricky.
Great success.
So Blake, looking unlikely, nice. Final one, Derrick Rose. What are the options here?
I mean, he's the most coveted guy off the bench right now, and that's the problem, is he's the only one who looks good. He's playing incredible. Outside of Luke Kennard. Kennard looks great, and I'm just going to go with I'm happy that he's finally playing up and they've given him the minutes and he's doing great because everybody just shit on them because I get it. Guys taken after him, right after him, play pretty good in the league. But he's a good piece and I think he'll keep growing. But Derrick Rose has just been nothing shy of, old Derrick Rose. He's got half the athleticism, but that's still twice as much as anybody else in the league. So I think that you get someone who's smart, savvy, playoff experience. He's good with assisting young players. He's great coming off the bench. No ego left in his game. I think there's a handful of teams who would love to have him. I'm surprised the Jordan Clarkson deal went down, because I would have figured that the Jazz would have been a great team to go after him. I know the Lakers are a team that they are desperately looking for help off the bench, and I know we're going to talk about them a little bit later. And there's a couple other playoff teams who are just like, if they had a score off the bench, like that shit would be legitimate.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to Ben Taylor of Thinking Basketball. He talks a lot about Rajon Rondo.
He's struggled a little.
What's up?
He's struggling a little this year.
Yeah, how his passing's still great, but he dribbles too much, he thinks too much, and some of the passes that he is making are very tight windows. So but they need to play him so much because he's the only other player that can pass the ball besides LeBron James. So Rose would be an interesting one. I just don't know how good Rose would be. In transition, at least leading breaks. I know that him finishing is great.
Goes upstairs.
I just said that he's great. He's great at finishing, but I don't know how he would be good as a leader. At least leading the fast break. You know what I'm saying? In transition, because he can lob up to LeBron. No problem. But I don't know if he's going to be able to hit those tight windows. If he's going to be able to hit AD on those closeouts. I don't know how good of a long passer he is.
Yeah, he's solid. But
so I would just worry about his straight-up passing ability, but I don't hate D-Rose to the Lakers.
The other team, 76ers. Like 100% the 76ers need a guard.
Sixers. Yeah, I mean, Markelle Fultz just outplayed Ben Simmons.
Yikes.
He just destroyed him. Less minutes, points, two threes when Ben didn't.
Big yikes.
No, not big yikes. Shout out Markelle.
Oh, I love Kelly. Like, it's so happy that he's finally getting the chance to play basketball. And, when he's medically right, and he's going to keep getting better and better, he's going to stud.
The two guard that was promised for Ben Simmons now come back and turn the sword.
But the 76ers desperately need a guard on the bench who can create and who can score. And that is Derrick Rose. He's a perfect fit for that team. And I think they'd have to give up like a Mike Scott and a pick to get there. And Mike Scott's, he's been hot and cold.
Philly fans wouldn't be happy.
Mike Scott's legit Philly.
Three general manager.
Actually, it's funny. I was talking to Jake about that, Sixer fan.
Yep.
And he probably would. And he even said, he's like, oh, I would give, he's like, I'm not really the Beehive. I'd give up Mike Scott in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It would be Mike Scott and something, because Derrick Rose is actually very good and is on a 2-year deal, I think $9 million a year this year and next. So. Yeah. It would make perfect sense for them, and they would be disgusting if they could add Derrick Rose to that team. Oh, I would love that for Philly. Like, they're a team that desperately needs help off the bench. And again, we talked about, I was even trying to mock Alec Burks to them.
Yeah.
In early trade rumors.
I think you're right. I don't think Blake or Drummond's going to get traded. If anything's going to get traded, it'd be like Langston Galloway or Marcus Morris Markeith.
They got Keith.
Markeith Morris or D. Rose. I think it's going to be one of those smaller pieces. All right, Ricky, we're not going to ask you what you think about the trades. Just empty the trade chamber.
Oh, I do.
I'm assuming you have like 90. Unload.
I do. So the Laker one, I have to look back to Christmas Day because I did send one out on Christmas to see what
I'm not going to react to him, by the way. Whatever you throw out there, I'm not going to react. So, I want people to take in what you are saying. These are all Ricky's unadulterated, unfiltered thoughts that you have to take in. So you're going to take in all of Ricky's.
I got three of them.
Shots. He's got three shots. We're gonna end this segment with Ricky's three shots. No reaction, Dave. All right.
So these are Derrick Rose trades, by the way. So the first one, Lakers get Rose and a 2022 first. Pistons get Kuzma, Jared Dudley, and Talon Horton Tucker. Then the next one is Derrick Rose to the Bucks for Ersan and a 2020 first via Indiana. And then, just because people are saying, bring him back home, Chicago, giving up Chris Dunn, Denzel, and a second for Derrick Rose. Probably not enough. Not enough, not going to happen, but had to throw out a Bulls one just to, the dream's still alive. And the Bulls, hey, if we're going to make an 8 seed, we might need a guy with playoff experience, and the Bulls might look for Derrick Rose.
I said I wasn't going to react, so I'm not going to. Although I think my reaction of getting up was enough. No, fuck that. Read the Lakers one again.
The Laker one? Oh, that one was on my phone.
Kuz, THT,
and Dudley. For Derrick Rose and a first. No. The pick would be going to the Pistons. Derrick Rose is going to the Lakers. No. Did I have a pick from the Pistons? Basically, the players are Derrick Rose of the Pistons, Kuzma, Dudley, and Talen Horton-Tucker.
How does that make sense?
I mean, it worked.
Derrick Rose is equal to one Kyle Kuzma.
Well, that and
I
then
would
the other two
say
make
Kuzma
like,
might be a little bit more valuable.
You know what? Well, you'd be wrong.
And that's why I had a pick
for the
going
Lakers?
To
not for the Lakers.
That's
okay,
the thing.
That's fair. Putting it in that frame,
the Lakers
okay.
don't need another wing chucker. They need
that's,
a point guard.
Okay, I don't hate that framing of it.
Yeah.
But then including your recent draft pick and Talen Horton-Tucker and another chucker.
He's raw.
And Dudley.
I'd keep
where
Dudley.
You're trading two garbage pieces in Chris Dunn and Denzel Valentine and a second.
Denzel Valentine's not bad.
That, homerism,
that is
brother.
Right. No. I had...
You're not bad.
I had a first-rounder going from the Pistons to the Lakers.
Yeah.
So it's so like, you're getting Derrick Rose, but Kuzma is young and he's good.
Yeah.
So the Pistons would have to give up Rose and a 2022 first.
The Laker one's better. The Bulls one's horrible.
But I mean,
I'd pull the trigger on that.
Shocker.
Well,
shocker.
The only thing about the Bulls one.
Keep it
and
the
this
super
is,
fans.
And this is no. This is the homerism with it. Is
the homerism is the fact that you're destroying the deal.
The Bulls would have to give up a first round pick, and I just wouldn't want to give up a first round pick. For Derrick Rose.
That's why I don't think it happens.
Yeah, and that's why I just threw it at the end. But the Bucks one is, they're another team that people are saying, hey, they could use a guy like Derrick Rose and, you know, Ersan and Rose making the same amount of money, so that works. And if the Bucks just say, hey, let's toss a pick that way, the only one they got this year, though, is that Indiana pick. But would they want to go pickless this year?
Yeah, I don't hate it. All right, let us know your thoughts down in the comments below about all the trades we talked about here in the Pistons segment. If you are a Pistons fan, let us know what you think down in the comments below, especially you, our guy, Soapy Muffin. But let's move into our next topic, and it is our weekly topic where we talk about the dampest of dudes, the moistest of men, the soggiest of shooters. These are our wet boys, the guys that absolutely popped off in the past week, post ridiculous stat lines, crazy games, helped their teams to long-standing winning streaks, had great marquee performances in the biggest of games. These are our wet boys. We're going to start off with Ricky Whitmer. Richard, what you got?
And I'm glad that you said they helped their team in the biggest of games at the biggest of moments, because there was some debate about my wet boy that he didn't deserve the wet boy from his team.
He doesn't.
That there was somebody else. But
yeah. On his own team, yeah.
I got to go and give it to Goran Dragic this week. I know that the splits might not be great. You might be looking at it and go, Ricky, it's a weak wet boy. But the performance that he put in against the Pacers, a guy that we've kind of written off Goran Dragic a little
bit.
Where it's kind of been like this young Heat team, and then like, oh, and then there's Goran. Whenever there's a trade for Miami, it's like, well, they can include Goran.
He's got a $19 million contract.
And Goran goes out there, balls out, has the assist numbers that I like in that game, and hits the game winner to help the Heat win.
Okay.
Bam.
What I'll ask you is, Bam. We're not going to argue who Bam
overall,
Bam should have been
played
it.
Better, but I liked Goran,
what,
and I wanted to
what I'll ask
give
you
my eyes.
Is, you know, hitting the shot is the most important thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Of this week.
So
he is the wettest of boys.
Okay. So looking back on, you know, the Bulls finals, that should say Steve Kerr and John Paxson should probably be more important than Michael Jordan, right? Or
you
at least
know,
equal
like
because they both, all three of them hit a shot?
In those moments, yeah, because they hit the shot.
Robert Horry is basically the GOAT then.
Yep. Like, I mean, they hit
Put
the
him
shot.
In the Hall of Fame.
Like, you can be the best player and have help from other people. Like, LeBron wouldn't have his championship without Kyrie.
He'd have a championship, at least, on the game.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have the most important one without Kyrie.
I would say, well, here, let's just do this real quick. Who hit the bigger shot in LeBron's career, Kyrie or Ray Allen? Because I would say it's Ray Allen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Kyrie, they would have won that game in Golden State if it wasn't for Kyrie.
For
Kyrie
us,
just had a badass shot. I mean, there was still like a minute left.
Amazing.
Was still
for,
a minute left.
For us, I think we would say Ray Allen. If we asked LeBron, I think there would be the emotional tie of Cleveland. He would say Kyrie's.
Perhaps.
Well, no. But that was a bigger championship. But
yeah.
I think was if Ray Allen doesn't hit that shot, that game.
Well, Ray
is
Allen
done.
Should have never got that shot off. That's
no.
the first thing. Like,
but
that shot should have never happened.
That shot helped them win more than Kyrie's shot.
Yeah, it kept them alive in the entire series.
Kyrie hit that with like 121 left.
Yeah, but it was still a game seven, the magnitude of it, going up against the Warriors.
And LeBron was unstoppable that game. Anyways.
That series.
Yeah, that is life. It's the past 17 years. David, give us your white boy.
Yeah, I'm going with classic here. I'm going with Jumpin' Joe Ingles. He has been instrumental to this Jazz team. They are 7-3 since they moved him back into the starting position. They were a team that was kind of floundering around.
They've been 7-3 since Mike Conley got injured.
Yeah, coincidence, I think not.
Around there.
I think not, but no, he had a great week. He's put up, you know, cool 22 points a game, about 4 boards, 4 assists, clean shooting splits. Like, what can you really ask for a guy shooting 58-56? Like, no big deal. It's just, he's so good at basketball, and he does all the little things. And he's why this offense moves. And, you know, they tried to put him in that second unit to really elevate them and make sure that, you know, there wasn't as big of a drop-off. But it turns out the best way for Utah to win games is by having their starting unit be so much better and so much more fluid that he's just such an instrumental piece to this team. Like, goes under the radar for a long periods of time. But he's amazing. I love him. Joe Ingles, wet boy.
Shout out to Jumpin' Joe. I'm going to stick with the Jays. We love our Jays.
We do.
On this show. The Memphis Grizzlies.
Yep.
You know, Jaren Jackson Jr., Jandon Jark, Joe Ingles.
Jaylor Jenkins.
I'm going to stick with a guy that we have bashed since he came into the NBA. And and we just bashed him before the season. And honestly, we're just always wrong about this guy. Everything could seem to be right.
Yep.
He could be undeserving of a contract extension. He proves us wrong. He could be undeserving of the spot he was drafted in. He proves us wrong. Jaylen Brown deserves a shout out. Yep. Jaylen Brown in the past 3 games against Cleveland, Toronto, and Charlotte. He has shot 63.8% from the field, 52.4% from 3 on 7 attempts, grabbing 8 boards, 3.7 assists, and 26.7 points per game. The real one that I absolutely loved was his Toronto performance was, you know, unstoppable. That whole team was. They beat the shit out of the Raptors.
Toronto had like 2 starters.
They still beat the shit out of them.
I don't disagree.
When you look back at the box score, you'd be like, wow, the Celtics beat the shit out of the Raptors.
They did. And then you're like, wow. Who's healthy on the Raptors?
Okay, but does that mean they didn't win the game,
You only play the people you played. I know. I'm not taking away credit, but, you know, slaying a Raptors team with 2 healthy people, beating down Cleveland.
He beat up Charlotte, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but you're still going 5-7, 5-10.
Oh, no.
He's still impressive. You were also going to pick him for what, please? Stop fucking bashing him.
I was. That's why I'm salty right now, because you took my whip bike, because I forgot to text out last night.
And he should have been 6-7, too, in that Raptors game, but he like missed a really gimme open 3, but whatever.
Yeah, Celtics might have 3 All-Stars.
Shout out to Jaylen Brown.
That's terrifying. Kemba, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown are all right there.
If
3 20-point scores on the same team. Jason Tatum's got incredible defense. Jaylen Brown's true shooting percentage is something like 63?
Well, my thing, too, was that
season?
I was thinking, too, like, If he was healthy more, I think Gordon Hayward might also get an All-Star nod.
Yeah, if he was too far out.
I know, but like if he played more than 13 games, he's been looking very good.
I know.
Like, they're scary terrifying. Good.
They're terrifying as a team.
Do we know when Hayward's going to be back?
He's playing right now.
Yeah, he's playing.
Okay. I haven't watched the Celtics games.
He has been injured, but he's back now. Yep. And he looks good. I mean, he's great playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
I always forget, like, because he's been so injured and banged up. I forget how good of a playmaker he is. Anyways, Ricky. You got a fantasy update.
Yeah, I got some good news.
Ooh.
We moved up one spot. We're now 8th. We're still not good. We're still not good, but we moved up one spot.
Making the playoffs.
We still are duty at rebounding, but here's the thing.
Duty.
We're about 200 behind the next person, so I don't think we're going to catch that.
No.
So I'm changing our focus to field goal percentage.
I love it. Because
it's a little bit easier of a...
Because
we're... Lower, we can climb up that. We're like amazing at blocks. We're the second best team in blocks. We're great at free throw percentage and 3-pointers made. We're just really bad at putting the ball in the basket and rebounding the basketball if it doesn't go in the basket.
I also
have a trade that we got. This is going to be a no, but I wanted to throw it out anyways. Our boy King E, the sniper that kept sniping our picks, wants to give us Drew Holiday for Kawhi Leonard. Because we mentioned last week that Kawhi doesn't play a lot of games. Is the load management hurting us? So I'm assuming King E heard this and put it out there. If we look
let's do this.
If we look at the comparison, because I have it here.
Yeah, first off, shout out King E. Means he's watching, means he's loving, means he's living it up. Shout out to him and Ariana Grande. Give us the comparison.
So field goal percentage, we would kind of go down. Kawhi shooting 46% in his games.
He's a better player.
Drew Holiday shooting 43%. Free throws, a lot worse. 87 to 69. Mm. Three-pointers made are about the same, actually a little bit better, by like 0.1 for Drew Holiday, 1.9 to 1.8. Rebounds, Kawhi gets more, 8 to 5. Assists, Drew Holiday gets more.
How much,
six,
though?
And, 6.5 to 5, so not a lot.
Kawhi's a playmaker.
Steals are about the same. Blocks are about the same. Points, Kawhi gets about 26 a game. Drew Holiday's getting about 20 a game.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing.
Kawhi's got 24 games played right now, and how many does Drew Holiday have?
30. So it's six a wash. Games. Yeah, I would rather take Kawhi for six less games.
Then I am saying no.
Yeah, it's close, but no.
I'm going to say the deal breaker is Kawhi, or the deal breaker is Drew Holiday.
See, it's like the deal breaker is Drew Holiday. I would say it also doesn't matter. I would say it's like kind of trading the gap for the Old Navy. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to find a lot of the same stuff there, right? But one's just, it's got a better brand name. I'd rather shop the Gap than Old Navy because it's been around longer. You know, 1969, meet me at the Gap. Mm. Or what's Old Navy's thing? We got socks for $5.
That is their thing.
That's what people recognize Old Navy for. So, I mean, it's just like, it's not enough, you know?
Yeah.
You got to be on my level. Thank you, though, Kenny. We appreciate you. Other than that, any other moves?
Yeah, I was going to say, looking at our team, I'm going to put up the last 30 here. And in the last 30, I just wanted to take a quick look at how our team is doing when it comes to field goal percentage. And the only one that's really bad is Devonta Graham shooting 35% from the field.
Yeah, that boy chucks with a green light.
He's only good at threes.
He's horrible
in mid-range.
Yeah.
He can't finish at the basket.
Yep, but he's like, so good.
He's our lowest, and then Brooke Lopez is our second lowest at 40%.
But Brooke Lopez only shoots threes.
No, I know. That's a thing. And he's not hitting a ton of them, but he's hitting enough of them.
He's been slumping.
So the thing is, do we want to give up Devonta Graham, although he is scoring 20 points a game?
Yes.
And would bring down our points a little bit. His assist numbers are 7.7.
Yeah, no, he's so good.
So, I mean, if we're going to go out there right now, the best field goal percentages of guys actually fucking playing. Let me go minutes per game because it's a little bit better. The best one is Jonathan Williams of the Wizards is shooting 66%, but he's only getting 9 points a game. Yeah, the only one that's really 11 points is our highest, and that's Damian Lee right now, shooting 40% from the field and 11 points per game. So it would be a 10-point drop.
He's been on a heater, you know.
Patty Mills also, 45%, only scoring 11 points per game. There's not a ton of guys given that same scoring output of Devonta Graham.
Yeah, no, he's their superstar.
So, I mean, that's the question. Like, do we drop him? Do we keep him?
No, I'd drop him.
For who?
Dropped Devonta Graham?
No,
I dropped Devonta Graham.
I would. He would.
I would.
He didn't say
drop him. Because he's fucking inefficient. Just because he's scoring 20 points doesn't mean he's actually...
20 and 7. I mean, that's...
Who's our choices?
I think you could trade him. I think people would be interested in getting his numbers.
Maybe. Who's got the least amount of points?
On our team?
Nope.
No.
In the league.
We can
try to trade for somebody on their team.
That is going to be Saffron King, or Saffron City Kicks. So it is Jimmy L is the last place team.
Sam might have a more efficient shooter who puts up less points. We could trade Graham for.
This is his team. Darius Garland, Lou Will, Caris LeVert, Kristaps Porzingis.
That's rough.
Tristan Thompson, Gary Harris, Sabonis, Lonzo Ball, Dennis Smith Jr., Marcus Gasol, Kyrie Irving, Zion, and Eric Gordon.
Man, he's got like upside team. Like that's if nobody gets hurt, that team's disgusting. Unfortunately, everyone on the team is hurt.
How many points is Eric Gordon scoring tonight?
He's hurt.
He is hurt.
He will be returning. Actually,
but he still played
this upcoming week. He played a couple games this year.
Well, let's see.
I think he's played about 14.
He's played at least 10.
He has 30% from the field, 10 points per game for the season.
He's played 9 games this year.
Yeah. If we look at really quickly, just
he's
the
set
team,
to return, actually.
If he was being
the
efficient.
29th on
if
Sunday.
He was being efficient, I would.
The team just up from him, which is Team Nicholas. Just one more team, see if there's anyone we like here.
Yep.
Terry Rozier, Brian Forbes, Rudy Gay, Bobby Portis, 1-2 punch, Steven Adams, Seth Curry, Dario, DeAndre Jordan.
How much is Seth averaging a game?
He is 46.2.
No, points.
Nine.
I would do that.
So that would be a drop off from 20 to 9, but he's shooting about 10% better.
Yeah.
Probably
shooting more threes too.
He's shooting more threes? He's only shooting 4 threes a game, making 1.6 of them.
Here's another one I want to throw out that he does have. Should we go after John Collins?
I think that's too much.
I mean, he's got better, so he's shooting 50% from the field. And it's only like a 3-point drop off. He's averaging 17 points per game.
I mean, you could toss it out there. If he needs assists, then that's
a good
deal.
If he needs assists, then yeah, because then
let's see where
if he's good on rebounds.
Let's see where he is on the assist
meter. See where he is on rebounds too.
So for assists, Team Nicholas is dead last in assists.
Well, then this could actually work.
And he is about. Let's see, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9th in rebounds.
So that let's propose it. Let's see what happens.
Proposal.
Graham for Collins?
John Collins. Yeah.
Cool.
We're going to make that happen.
Check your inbox. Let's make a deal. Let's Wayne Brady the shit out of this. Let's make a deal.
I love it.
CBS in the morning. You're sick. Grandma's making you soup. Watching Let's Make a Deal and Wayne Brady.
Grandma's making you soup.
Let's move into the next topic. Let's move into the final topic. We're going to be talking about the Lakers possibly trading Kyle Kuzma here. If you didn't see the whole garbage that was happening on social media, Kyle Kuzma's trainer put it out on his Instagram story, watching Kawhi highlights from yesterday. Nobody wants to speak on how sharp his skill set is compared to LeBron's. It's clear who really is in the lab and who isn't. Let me hear the excuses. I'm on vacation. I got nothing but time. And then he also posted the next day, or I think the next story, turn on the film on somebody. Turn the film on. Somebody was dodging smoke yesterday, and it wasn't Kawhi. Hang 10, and then a race flag? I don't get that one. But then it was a picture of Kawhi and LeBron. And then Kuzma, around the same time, said, tweeted out, call a spade, and the shrug. So seems like Kuz maybe just be weirdly subtweeting at the same time, but it seems like those two are lining up, that Kyle Kuzma's trainer is calling out LeBron James, and then Kuzma's like, yep, look at that, look at what happened. Yeah. Kuzma had a nice first quarter in the Clipper game on Christmas morning, or Christmas night, I don't know when time happens, but outside of that, Kuzma's been pretty disappointing for this Laker team, if I could say that. So let's talk about him possibly getting moved. He was a guy that came out of nowhere in that 2017 Laker team, was the 27th pick, really fell a lot under our radars. We covered that draft, and I really don't remember talking much about Kuzma. And then the pick was made, and we were just kind of, I don't think we talked much about it. And then he came out right away off the gates, scoring 16 points per game, looked like he was better than Ingram and Lonzo Ball on that time. And then he came back the next year and scored 18 a game. And then,
you were the one that mentioned him. I remember you mentioned his name once.
Yeah, his 3-point percentage dropped off a little bit, but, his 3-point percentage has gone back up this year. But he's, shooting less. He has less usage, only starting one game. So let's talk about Kuzma possibly moved. Do you want to touch the trainer stuff at all? Have you guys got any thoughts on that?
I just, with me, the thing, and obviously we're not in the locker room with them, but like with me reading into this, I kind of see like, okay, we kind of understand already that LeBron, when he comes to a team, the team mindset changes. And we've already made the jokes about Le Coach, Le GM, LeBron, to where I find this to where it's like, hey, you know what? Kuzma ain't going to take it. Kuzma's going to sit there and go, hey, man, I'm going to call it like I sees it, kind of a thing. And to me, I look at it and I go, if that's really the case, wouldn't surprise me, because we've said it from when he was, except for maybe Miami because of Pat Riley, but like when he goes to Cleveland, now in LA, where it's like he's the one running the ship and he's the one kind of pulling the strings and kind of influencing everything. So that's just what I kind of think about. I kind of actually like it because it's like, you know what? Call out the top sometimes because you got to keep them in check.
Dave?
I think he should watch his words. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You have no credit to criticize greatness. And that's, you know what? you can comment behind closed doors, you can talk about it, but I feel like Twitter is just like, you're just poking with a stick. And he just sees the writing on the walls. Mm-hmm. Maybe he knows the fact that he's been floated out there in rumors is he's the odd guy out. He's the guy who doesn't play defense.
Maybe he doesn't like playing on the team. And maybe it's like, yeah. You know, to
maybe
go
he
to
sees the fact that everybody else, grass is greener post-trade for everybody else.
Bingo.
He's like, man, maybe I wish I could get out of here too.
And like you said with in the Russ topic about the Rockets of like, if to Kyle Kuzma, if it's like, hey, I can be like I am right now and possibly get a ring, or I can be like Brandon Ingram and be balling out somewhere but not get a ring.
Yep.
Like, maybe more important to him is, hey, I just want to be happy and ball out somewhere.
Yeah, I think that might be the thing at this point in his career. That's where his mind's at. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he feels like he's being unjustly blamed for the couple losses that the Lakers have. And he sees, you know, LeBron James, who choked in some pretty clutch moments and turnover happy at times. And
I think, too, like the fact that LeBron wasn't hitting a shot early in that game and really throughout the whole game on Christmas.
He missed like 10 threes.
Christmas night.
Yeah. And he had like, what, Kuzma 8 points going into the fourth quarter or third quarter?
I think that probably plays a lot into it. But also, like, Kuzma, you're nowhere near the talent level that LeBron is. Like,
yep.
Get the fuck out of here. Like, I think it's so fucking bullshit. Because, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you gaining out of this? You get to move to L.A. and then you get to go fucking play in, you know, I don't want to bash any team. Mm-hmm. So you get to go play in Vancouver because Vancouver is typically a bad team. You get to go and play Vancouver and score 20 a night. And no, everyone's like, wow, he could be really something special. He could be someone who, you know, championship contender could really look at. Like, I just look at him as some guy that would just waste away. And just not actually have an important career and just be a guy that, like, puts up stats.
He reminds
and
me of early
stats.
Rudy Gay.
Yeah. O.J. Mayo.
O.J. Mayo. Like, Orange Juice Mayonnaise.
Like, I don't like Kuzma. I'm sorry. Like, I don't think that he's an interesting player. I never really did. I didn't think he was that great when he was playing like he did in his first two seasons. He was the better rookie. I'll give him credit. That first year, we were pretty shocked about the way he was playing in 2017. But I also think that he's hit his ceiling already. Like, I don't think we're going to see a different Kuzma.
Right.
He's
not going to reinvent his game.
Yeah, Kuzma's not going to be this, like, ball-handling, you know, 6'9" guy. He's just gonna be a chucker.
Yep.
So I don't know. I think it's fucking cheap from Kuzma, and I think you can't really call out a guy like LeBron like that because the guy's clearly worked his ass off and has won 3 championships and you've done nothing in your career.
However, though, bringing up that Christmas Day game is pretty important because, like, I even said to Dave, we were playing WoW, and I mentioned this to him of like watching the Clippers play the Lakers, and I know regular season people say let's see it when it's actually the playoffs, but I kind of have a mindset, like a weary feeling that it's like, we're all going to want Clippers-Lakers. Like, oh, give me Clippers-Lakers. And we're going to get it. Semifinals, conference finals, one of the two. And then it's like, we're going to expect 7 games, but like the Clippers just sweep them. And
there's no way in hell.
There is a way in hell.
There's
I'm not
no
saying it happens, but there
happens.
Is a way in hell.
There's no way.
Yes, there is.
I would.
There is. I mean, we've seen the Clippers win twice.
How much are you willing to bet?
With me, I'll shave my head if the Clippers don't sweep. Or actually, if they do sweep, you got to shave your head though.
Yeah.
Okay.
If the playoff series happens,
yeah,
this is playoffs.
Yeah.
If the playoff series happens, and the Clippers and the Lakers win one game out of 7 or 4, if the Lakers win one game, you shave your head.
Yeah.
And if they don't, I shave my head.
Yeah, it grows back. It's not like it does anything. Like, I'm just saying it's a possibility. Like,
Sean Hoodie's up again.
Like,
my hair's still fucked up.
Like, it's a possibility where it's like, I've looked at what I've seen and LeBron hasn't balled out. And I know a regular season different than playoffs and that may play into it, but it's like.
You're talking just Clipper games.
Yes,
right?
Just Clippers. Where it's like, I'm sorry, when. You have 8 points heading into the second half.
Leading the league in assists.
And Kawhi had 25. Like, that's the thing with me, where it's like, this series, there's a possibility it may not be what we all expect it to be. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not going to make up excuses here. All right? I could go in and be like, you know, both guys were questionable for this game. It wasn't like they were fully healthy, AD and LeBron. I'm not going to do that. Clippers won. Clippers are 2-0. congrats to them. I'm also not shocked that the Clippers might be a better team. The Clippers clearly were coming in, and I think they were mostly everybody's favorite in the Western Conference. And we looked at the Lakers like, all right, they're going to need their guys to step up. Like Danny Green, you know, it can't just be LeBron and AD. We didn't think that they were a full fleshed out team. Lakers have also lost like five straight so far. So, I mean, they're currently in a little bit of a rut here. But to say that the Clippers, yeah, four game.
They're going to lose the Blazers without AD and LeBron, probably.
If
and Kuz.
They...
All of them are sitting, by the way.
If they... If the Clippers sweep the Lakers in the playoffs, I'd be absolutely shocked. You're talking about LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and a huge thing that has been killer for the Lakers this year has been transition. AD cheating out to the three-point line and then running up ahead. No one can stop that 6'10 freak when he's got the ball in some space. And LeBron's been great at hitting him. A big thing that helps the Clippers is the fact that Kawhi and PG focus so much in the mid-range that it's tough for AD to cheat out. And then along with that, too, they're just such good defenders as well that they can just close out on AD. But at that point, these games have still been fairly close. It's not like they're blowing them out of the water here. And I think that when it comes down to four games, LeBron and AD are going to have enough to win a game. And I think that they're still a super interesting team. I think the Lakers, you can't count them dead because of two games against the Clippers.
And that's the thing. Like, am I probably going to lose my hair? Yes, it's probably 97% to 3% that I lose my hair now. But it's like, I look at it and it's like, I said the same thing to Dave that you just said. The games might be close, but based off of what I've seen, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Kawhi Leonard and PG blow past the Clippers. And I know that's not what we're talking about overall. We're talking about trades, but it's like, I think that plays into it with what Kuzma's saying, because it's like, if you're not going to ball out now against this team and we're looking at Kawhi Leonard, he's balling out against us, like, who are you to call yourself the king or anything if you're not going to bring it every single game you play these guys?
I don't think he's not trying to bring it, though. I don't think he's like, I don't think LeBron's like, oh, I'm going to miss all these shots. Like, I think that's so stupid to say. I don't think LeBron's trying to, like, blow this game, you know?
No, I'm not like, saying try to blow it, but, like, if it was me, I would kind of feel a little like, well, you're the best in the NBA. Why are you showing up like this against Kawhi?
Why can't
Kawhi's
a guy have
Clippers?
A bad night? What is LeBron James also going to go out and, you know, throw Kuzma under the bus when he's 0-6 from 3?
Yes. I would totally see LeBron throwing teams.
I'm pretty sure Kuzma's already done that. I would doubt that Kuzma has not had a game where he's gone like 0-6 or 0-5 from 3. Mm-hmm. And you're not seeing LeBron like going like, oh, my guy, you know, oh, you got double initials out here. You're not even hitting threes out here. What a bum. Like,
my point,
LeBron's not going to do that
point
shit.
Point being, I can
LeBron
see,
might
where,
tell him
I can
get,
see
like,
where Kuzma's coming from.
LeBron might go to Rob Pelinka and be like, hey, trade Kyle Kuzma, but I don't think he's going to be like, oh, that guy's shit.
Well, that enough. That even in itself is just enough to be like, that's, to me,
it's different.
Not like
one's public, one's private.
Okay. Is he going
to
be public?
There's a better way to do it.
Is he going to be public? Probably not, but yeah, it's your ass is gone. And LeBron will influence
as it should be because one guy's LeBron James and he's the best player of my generation, and one guy has three rings on his fingers, and the other guy's Kyle Kuzma.
No, okay.
So I don't know. I who would want a Kuzma? Is there teams out there that would fit?
He's young enough.
We talked about the Pistons deal before.
Yeah, I mean Pistons with Derrick Rose would be great for them. Like that I think that's a win-win kind of a deal.
That's the only deal I see happening.
Yeah.
Because the thing that I've had a problem trying to work trades out is, you know, LeBron's going to want a veteran, someone who has playoff experience.
Potentially.
And all the other guys like Danilo, who's a veteran, I tried to work one out for, like, even if they wanted like a DeMar DeRozan, like if all these veterans have bigger contracts where Derrick Rose has $7 million.
Oh, he's on $7 million.
And the Lakers just don't have enough, unless you're going to move Danny Green. They don't have enough high contracts to make a deal done.
True. I mean, I think that if you could get somebody to accept...
I thought about the guy that you're throwing in there with the Thunder.
I mean, Schroeder for KCP, DeMarcus Cousins, Quinn Cook, and a future. I think that's a great deal. I think Schroeder's playing like that's probably... He's a top 3-6 man in the league right now. He's playing incredibly well, and he's shooting fire. He's good enough on defense. He can create for others. Like I think that's a great deal. You just have to get someone to, you know, take the wink, wink, nudge, nudge DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
And you need KCP, obviously, to agree to
the
deal.
Can they technically trade Cousins since he's injured?
Yes, they can.
Okay, I thought you couldn't trade injured players.
Nope. It's a 2K thing.
What do you? What do we think about the Grizzlies as a trade option?
Tyus Jones.
Tyus Jones.
Tyus Jones would not be terrible.
You could do KCP for Tyus. Kyle Anderson also for KCP, I think, would be interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I think KCP's got the chance of being a 3-and-D player. Like, any given night, he can hit shots. That's the problem. He's inconsistent as hell.
Also, every other night, he can miss every shot.
He can. That's entirely up to him and his sobriety. So, I don't know. I think that both those guys I looked at, I was trying to find, like, point guards who were not terrible at basketball who would be available. Mm-hmm. And that's a surprisingly small list. Surprisingly small list of guys who are available. So, that's why I think Schroeder's probably your best bet. That's the upper echelon of he and Derrick Rose are the two targets that I think a lot of teams would love to have. And that's the crazy thing is like the Thunder are like playing with house money at this point because they're a playoff team. And they have not moved on from anybody. They don't have to necessarily. They can just go into the playoffs with this team as is, which hilarious because they just have like 18,000 draft picks. But and Chris Paul's still under contract. So I don't know. They're in a weird situation where if they do want to go fire sale, they absolutely can. They can move on from Danilo. They could move on from Chris Paul, Steven Adams, and Schroeder and completely just own an entire draft. But like that's their decision to make, and I kind of leave it up to them because as far as having a GM is concerned, he's not a bad one to pick draft picks.
No, Sam Presti's got a pretty good track record. He has that one bad trade on his whole ledger. But other than that, that guy's been pretty perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
the Spurs even. Could you see like a Patty Mills getting moved?
I could see Patty Mills getting moved. I've seen that he'd name thrown out there too. Yeah. Get some young guys in that starting guard rotation. I think that would probably be one of those guys that would make sense. Yeah. I don't know if Patty Mills has still got it. But still, I think he's an interesting name just because he is a veteran. And we've seen him ball out with Australia before.
Yeah.
Recently too. I mean, he was pretty good when they won the, what was that, FIBA?
Mm-hmm. FIBA.
Yeah, when they won FIBA. He was pretty good in that. And I think Popovich even said so, like, too. Like, he kind of hates Patty Mills after the game or something like that because he played so well against the USA team. So I think Patty Mills would be an interesting guy to throw out there. But it would pretty much be a wing for a guard is what we'd be throwing out there. Yeah. How much is Kuz making right now? Like, it's got to be like one
like
mil.
Like 1.7.
Yeah. I don't know. When you're throwing shots at your guy with 1.7 million, a guy that has made 600 million in the past decade.
He ain't my boy. I'm just saying I could see where he's coming from. I could see his point of view.
I think he's a bum. Anyways, let us know your thoughts down in the comments below. It's just tough to move him and include him in deals, too, just because he's making so little because he's still on his rookie deal. But let us know what you think of the Lakers down in the comments below and the Kuzma stuff also down in the comments below. Do you think he'll be traded? It's just difficult because what are you going to get for him? So it might be a Kuzma plus something else to get something.
Oh, by
something
the way, the Thunder deal had Kuzma, and I just didn't read it off his name for whatever
reason. I just assumed he was in there. Also, since this is the end of the podcast, right?
It is.
The whole thing. This is the last time we're not doing a live podcast, boys. Last time we're not live.
Shout out. Check us out on twitch.tv/mostofourpodcast. We'll be live. We haven't knocked down the date yet or the time yet.
Yeah, I
don't have my schedule yet. We'll have to do that. But we will be live, twitch.tv/mostofourpodcast. So go follow us over there, subscribe over there, and make sure you hit notifications as well so you can be watching it live for our what's it called? Initial embarkment into the void.
New year, new us, right?
There you go. We're going to the gym now.
I know it was a joke, but I kind of still want to punch you.
You should. They did the head nod.
New year, new us.
They did the head bob and everything.
Anyways, let us know what you think of Kuzma down in the comments below. We appreciate you listening, watching, and helping us out over 2019. We've had it's been a pretty interesting year. We've had a lot of ups and downs,
a lot of changes,
some people moving. Mm-hmm. But thing that stayed the same is us three. and we I love you guys, and you guys are awesome too. Everyone who watches and listens and supports us, check us out on patreon.com/mostofourpodcast. We appreciate all your support. Happy holidays as well. And for Dave Oster, for Ricky Wimmer, I'm Sean Anderson. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter @MostValuablePod for more great podcasts.